Tonight's lesson, Ascertaining the Pattern, is somewhat of an application of some of the things we've been learning. You'll see in the first sentence on the lesson, the following rules are based on what we have learned from, number one, revelation, that is, looking at scriptures that discuss the points that we were making, and then from the axiomatic nature of human language, which we've been talking about. Last class, in fact, was on generic and specific authority. And this is inherent in the nature of our language, that words and sentences can be both generic and specific depending upon reference. And that's important to understanding what someone asks us to do or wishes for us to do if we want to please them. So we've been studying that, and tonight's lesson is somewhat of an application of the verses we've been looking at and the nature of language and how it applies to ascertaining the divine will. All right, you'll see on your lesson we've got four main categories here that we begin with. The sum total of the teaching of God's Word on any given subject forms the pattern. Any other practice is unauthorized. And so we've talked about the idea of God's Word as a pattern in the past. We've talked about how you ascertain that pattern by gathering the pertinent facts, which are statements, commands. We call them examples or accounts of action, and then necessary conclusion or implications. And you gather all those, and then you harmonize them to reach an understanding of what the will of God is, what His pattern is, for our life and our worship and our teaching. If we respect the authority of God, this last part of that first part is true, any other practice is unauthorized. We understand the idea of a pattern. If we build a house and have a blueprint, only what you authorize on the blueprint are you obligated to pay for. If the builder of the house adds something without your consent, he's on his own. So we understand the idea of a pattern or a blueprint. Ladies understand it when making a dress, the idea of a pattern. So that's a very important concept in understanding the will of God. Generic authorizes its specifics. We'll be looking at that some more tonight. That's inherent in the nature of language. So if we say, come on in and sit down in the building, you can sit on the row that Dawn and Craig's on. You can sit on the row that Elizabeth is on and still be doing what that generic statement says. However, that generic statement can be considered specific. Come on in and sit down in the building. It does not authorize standing up while we're teaching. Now, somebody may stand up. It doesn't exclude it, but that particular statement doesn't authorize that. Okay, and then specifics. The specific does not authorize its generic. We'll see some examples of that tonight. Again, I want to emphasize, maybe we don't stop and analyze the way we reason, but these are axiomatic natures of the way we arrive at truth on any subject. And then authorized expedience. The word expedite is a word that has to do with making something more proficient or efficient or easier or faster. It expedites. A chainsaw can expedite cutting down a tree. You can cut down one without a chainsaw, but it can expedite it. When Noah was going to build the ark, he might have used a hammer to expedite doing what God told him to do. Hammers aren't mentioned, but that would expedite. So things that expedite are called expedience. And so that's where we get our word expedience. Expedience not violating other parts of the patterns or authorized by the practice they expedite. Okay, so we'll again see some more of this as we go through the study tonight. Let's begin in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. If you'll open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. So God is grieved with the earth of mankind, the whole earth has become corrupt except for eight people. And he's going to destroy the earth and its population except for those eight people. He's going to bring a universal flood. And so God now provides a means for these eight people to escape that destruction. And so he gives some instruction here in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. He's speaking to Noah, verse 13, about what he plans to do. So in verse 14 he says, "Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood." Now, does anyone have any idea how many times he told them to use gopher wood? One time. Is that enough? Did God, to make it binding, if you please, did he have to tell him three times or five times? One time was enough. That's right. Now, I don't know what gopher wood was, but let's assume it's not pine, okay? So when God said make it out of gopher wood, was he authorized to make it out of pine? Did God say, do not use pine? No. Everybody you're going to study the Bible with can understand this simple illustration. And it's good to point out to them when they agree with you that this is said one time and you understand it and that God didn't have to say, thou shalt not use pine. Very simple illustration. Okay. What motivated Noah? We're talking about authority. The word authority means liberty or right or freedom to do one of two things. What are they? To rule or to act. The authority to rule, God has that. And he gives us the authority or the right or freedom to act. Now, what is it that caused Noah to respect God's right to rule in this case and build an ark of gopher wood? Let's look at Hebrews. Hold your finger here. We may come back to it, but maybe not. But go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Was it that Noah had done some research and said, you know, I think God's on the right page? Did he go consult the scientists of his day? Say, you know, we're going to build this boat and it's got to float. Is this the best wood? Is that it? Did he go to the local library and search it out? No, here's the answer right here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence or in fear, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. His faith caused him to fear God. God said, I'm going to destroy this world. And everybody on the earth, everybody, he believed it. And God said, here's the way you can escape it. Whether Noah had ever built a canoe, we don't know. Whether Noah had ever built a bucket he could float in, we don't know. But he's got to build a vessel that will hold him and his family and all the animals that God intend for a flood that will cover the earth. What does he know about floods that cover the earth? We don't even know if there had been any floods at this time or even rain as far as that matter. It's in it by faith, trusting God. Not only that there is a God, but what else? God's what? God's right what? To rule. God's authority. And so, by faith. And in Hebrews 11, when you talk about faith, you'll see in verse 6 that is looking to the end result. Look at verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, but there's something else, that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. I do what God says. I may not understand why he said it, but I know if I do what he says, I'll be blessed in the doing of it. all through Hebrews 11. That's what you have. And that was held out to the Hebrew Christians to encourage them in the face of their trials, not give up, to persevere, because God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. So this example of the gopher wood is good. So looking at your sheet, what are the specifics of what He was commanding? Gopher wood. I don't know if there was red gopher and yellow gopher, but if there was, would yellow gopher be authorized? Yes. Did God have to mention yellow gopher for it to be authorized? No. The generic class includes that, and unless there's some other data that would say God chose red gopher, then yellow gopher would be authorized. Not simply the fact that he said gopher, but the fact that all the data you could gather, put together, indicated nothing other than the class of wood, gopher wood. And that would include the specifics in that class. Now, the general class of which gopher wood was a part, one in the class, is the word wood. So God didn't say, let me ask you a question. Think about it before you answer. Did God authorize Noah to build an ark out of wood? Yes. Is pine wood? Huh? So he was authorized to build it out of pine? What if you answer no? Did God authorize Noah to build an ark out of wood? You see, that kind of question can be tricky. And when we get a little bit further in the lesson, and the people you're going to deal with in the religious world, when you talk about instrumental music, for example, they might ask, did God authorize you to have music in worship? What are you going to answer? Yes, well, piano's music. See where it goes? But it's not wood, the class. It's a kind of wood. It's a specific wood. Gopher wood. So, over in the last category, which we left blank, what'd you put? Oak, pine, fir. Other specific kinds of wood would be unauthorized because he specified gopher. Is that clear? That's a simple illustration. It's good because it's not a doctrinal point. It's not a matter of the difference in what Baptists teach and Methodists teach and what you believe. It's just dealing with the facts of a historical event. Okay, let's go to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And look at verse 14. Here Moses is given instructions for the building of the tabernacle and the furniture in it. You shall put poles into the rings on the side of the ark to carry the ark with them. If somebody asks you or asks the priest, why do you have to have poles to carry the ark? Could they give a logical answer based on the size or weight or their own calculations or research? Could they have just picked it up and carried it? Wasn't that big. So why poles to carry it with? That's what God specified. That's what was authorized. Okay? So you got poles. But that's not all. Remember we talked in one of our lessons, way back in class 4, we talked about indicators of authority. So go get the indicators. We talked about gathering those facts in class number 10. And then we talked about the inductive method. You bring all those facts together to harmonize them. Remember James said, what Paul and Barnabas have said, with this the prophets agree. There's your law of harmony. Okay, So let's look at some other facts. Look at Numbers chapter 4 and verse 15. All right, so Exodus, while Moses wrote these books later, you know, Moses would have written the five books at the outset. How many years after the actual Exodus? 100 years? About 40 years. Right? The Exodus, the wilderness wandering, and Moses dies, and then they go into the land of Canaan. All right, so say he writes some 30-something years later. But somewhere in the process of writing these books, he also wrote the book of Numbers. All right, look at Numbers chapter 4 and verse 15. When Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy objects and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, so they're getting ready. They spent a year at Sinai. They're getting ready to leave. And so they're given instructions about how they're going to proceed in this journey toward the promised land. And so when the camp is to set out the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them. So Kohath and that lineage had the right to carry these holy objects and the ark. They were authorized. Now, let me ask you a question. Suppose somebody else, not of the sons of Kohath, in an interest of preserving the ark, saw it was about to fall and they went out and touched it to keep it from falling. Wouldn't that be okay? No, we know the story of Uzzah, don't we? And so, the sons of Kohath were to carry it. And he said, these are the things in the tent of meeting with the sons of Kohath are to carry. Well, why not the other two branches? Verse 22, there's the sons of Gershon. What's wrong with them? How about down in verse 29, the sons of Merari? What difference does it make as long as the ark gets where it's going? What difference does it make? What's authorized, isn't it? God made a choice. God chose. Why did he choose this group? I can't tell you that. God made a choice. All right. Now we've got one more fact we've got to add. Look at chapter 7. So we read in Exodus 25 the ark to be carried with poles and the rings on it. Now we know it's the sons of Kohath who were to carry it. So we can get four strong men of Kohath, get those poles right down here, couldn't we? We could say, John Michael, you get those two and I'll get my two and hold it and here we go. Right? Could we? Would it be authorized? Why? Because of chapter 7. And we have it here on your lesson, verse 9. He did not give any to the sons of Kohath because theirs was the service of the holy objects. What? Which they carried on the shoulder. Unless I've missed it. And if I have, you tell me, either this class or later. That's the only time in these five books that Moses wrote that there's a mention of the fact they were to carry it on the shoulder. So you put those three things together, gathering the facts, and so the poles are put in the rings, and then the sons of Kohath, not the sons of Gershon or Merari, put those on the shoulder and transport the ark. Now, look at 1 Chronicles 15. If you're not familiar with this chapter, we've talked about it before, I'd strongly urge you be a good family Bible study. 1 Corinthians 13 and 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 13 is when they attempted to move the ark. Tragedy struck. God struck us dead. And they were scared. And so chapter 15, they've done some research. They decided to try it again, but this time they're doing something different. In chapter 13, when they carried it, they put it on an old raggedy wagon, and that was what was wrong, right? What did they put it on? A new cart. A new one. Boy, that's great. People think, boy, I'm going to honor Jesus. Had a fellow doing some stuff at my house, cutting some trees here, oh, I don't know, 6 months or a year ago. Talk about how he could cut bushes to spell Jesus. I'm sure he thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And he meant well, but that's not how you honor Jesus. And so look here at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2. David's learned his lesson. No one is to carry the ark of God but the Levites. Why? Look at the little word for. For the Lord chose them to carry the ark of God. There it is. When the Lord makes a choice, we better respect that choice. Okay. So, in verse 13, because you did not carry it at the first, the Lord our God made an outburst on us. Now, what? Look at that next phrase. For we did not seek him according to the ordinance. Look at verse 15. The sons of Levites carried the ark of God on their shoulders. One time it was stated. Did God expect the priest to read those books and understand what they were to do? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So this time they carried it on the shoulder. No, as Moses had commanded according to the word of the Lord. So, the authorized thing was transport the ark by poles on the Kohathite shoulders. Specifics. Could they use shoulder pads and gloves? Would they still be doing what God said? That might expedite it. I don't know if they needed them. Maybe a fellow had a blister on his hands. I'm going to put on some gloves today. The general class would be transport the ark. Goes in that blank spot we have there. Now, if that's all he said, transport the ark, then could the Judahites transport the ark on a cart? Yes, they could. If the authority was generic, as far as class, that general class. But I know that wasn't authorized because of 1 Chronicles 13 and 1 Chronicles 15. Again, here's an illustration. It has nothing to do with what you differ with other churches about. It's just an illustration of ascertaining divine authority. And the very thing we were talking about, the inherent nature of language, it has generic and specific qualities. And that's the way God communicates His will. Doesn't this illustrate that in a very simple historical event? You remember that Paul said these things are written for our learning. All right, let's go to Matthew 26. Please open over there. I know you probably can quote it, but I want you to turn over there with me, please. Matthew 26. You men that get up and say something about the Lord's Supper, here's something you could focus on right here, what we're talking about tonight. This is one of the verses that's often read. I'm not going to read verse 17 through 29. I'm going to read two of those verses. You'll see why. The first one is verse 17. On the first day of unleavened bread. What does that refer to? What does that refer to? Is that the first, like 1st of November or something? Or 1st of January or what? What? Look, I tried hearing aids. They didn't help any. So speak up, okay? Feast of the Passover or unleavened bread. What did they have to do on this feast? get all the leaven out of the houses. Right? No leaven. All right. So that's begun. All right. The reason that's important is because when you get down to verse 26 and says Jesus took some bread, is bread generic as to whether it's leavened or unleavened? It's not? The word bread, it's generic. But is this bread that Jesus took bread in general or a specific kind of bread? Specific kind of bread. What kind? Unleavened. How do you know? Gathering all the facts. So here's a generic word as far as kinds of bread, but the context and the Old Testament scriptures about the Feast of Unleavened Bread tell you that when you read in verse 26, he took some bread, that's unleavened bread. All right, now look what he said. After a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat this. This is my body. This is my body. All right, hold your finger here and go to Genesis 17:10. So God's, the Son, is giving instructions about the memorial to his death. He said, this unleavened bread is or represents my body. All right, now look at Genesis chapter 17, verse 10. God is speaking to Abraham 2,000 years earlier. In Genesis chapter 17 and verse 10, this, same little word, this is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you, your descendants after you. Here it is. Every male among you shall be circumcised. Well, they might say, that's a kind of a difficult thing. I think we'll do something else that'd be just as good. This. God made a choice. Male circumcision. We understand that. Over here, Jesus said, this bread, unleavened bread, is my body. Look at Exodus chapter 12. So that was about a covenant God made. Exodus 12 is about a memorial. And Jesus is instituting a memorial in Matthew 26. Look at Exodus chapter 12 now. Here's the memorial that they were observing when Jesus was talking about the Lord's Supper, instituting its observance. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2, this month shall be the beginning of months to you. It's the first month of the year to you. What difference does it make whether it's this month or next month? Divine authority. God made a choice. How do you know? This month. But look again in verse 14. This day. Now, it's not just this month, a particular day of the month. And then look again, this time in verse 42. It is a night to be observed. This night is for the Lord. This month, this day, this night. Look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Matthew 3:17, a voice out of heaven came. Jesus had been baptized by John. No, this is my beloved Son. Did God have to say, not that guy over there and that guy in the crowd, not John the Baptist? No, this. Is that specific? It is, isn't it? This is my beloved Son. Why unleavened bread? Not because Churches of Christ said it. Not because preachers said it. Here it is. Jesus said, this bread, this unleavened bread, is my body. It's a matter of authority. All right. So, specifics. Could we have somebody make the unleavened bread out of brown wheat flour? Yes. Some of the best unleavened bread I ever ate was out of brown wheat flour from the fellow made in New Mexico. Yeah. All right, fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine, and vine is generic. There are tomato vines. But when you go study all the data, you know he's talking about the grape vine. Okay? Now, could we use green grapes? Sometimes people have asked this question right here in this building in the past. Why do we use the color grape juice we do? People say, it's to commemorate the blood. And I say, we got the wrong color. We got purple. That's not it. Red grapes, green grapes, whatever, purple grapes. That's all authorized under fruit of the vine. Now, the general class that fruit of the vine and unleavened bread fits into is either food or drink. So, in your last column, what were your examples of other specifics in the general class? Coke, potatoes, French bread. Wouldn't you rather have some nice French bread for the Lord's Supper? I like Coke. How about a Coke? What's wrong with it? Authority. Divine authority. God made a choice. Remember that passage in 1 Chronicles 15, David said, the Lord chose. We've learned our lesson. Okay. So, we've got here singing. Ephesians 5:19. So look over at Ephesians 5:19. You can probably quote that verse, but look over at it. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What about humming? Does the Bible forbid humming?
Humming is not speaking.
That's right. Humming is not speaking, and it's not teaching and admonishing one another. I've been to churches of Christ where that's what they did. Now, he says, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing. Singing. And making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, unless I change my mind, which is, you know, is always a possibility. Not this coming Sunday, but the following Sunday. At 5 o'clock, I'm going to probably have a class on authority, but it's going to be different than what we're doing. If you come, be ready to be challenged. If you don't want to be challenged and ask a question about your belief, don't come. So I'm going to hurt your feelings. I'm not out to hurt your feelings. I'm out to help us be ready to be able to explain why we believe what we believe. Here's a verse that says, making melody. Can I make melody on a piano? Well, there you are. There's the verse. You be ready to tell me why it doesn't. Okay. Now, so specifics. You can sing soprano. You can sing bass. Or you can sing what I sing. There's nothing in the page about it. It's just whatever's there, you know. You can use books or like somebody. Where's the authority to use books? Where's an example where they had books? I don't have to have an example. I've got to have authority. But where's the authority? Sing. One expedient to singing is books. And all I'm doing is what's authorized. Same thing with lights. So the general class would be make music. And if that's all he said, make music, then over here on the far right column, a form of making music would not only be singing, but playing. That is, play a guitar, play a piano, play an organ. All right. Colossians 3:16. Note, he says, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Do you like Home on the Range? Why don't we sing Home on the Range? Where does God forbid Home on the Range? He didn't. But God made a choice about the kind of songs we sing. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And we're to sing them in such a way that We teach and admonish. I was at a vacation Bible school one year visiting there. They sang songs in round. Is that what you call it? I didn't know what they were saying. Some of the songs in our book, the way they're written, and this guy said, it's just a big jumble hash. Boy, we're singing. Can we teach and admonish one another? That's got to be the question. All right. Well, better get off of that pulpit. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 16. I've got two verses here, but for sake of time, we'll just look at this one. Here's an authorized work of the church. That is, in this case, taking care of needy Christians. That's what this context is about. How are you going to take care of those needy Christians? Here's what Paul told the Corinthian church. Concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia. So it wasn't only in Corinth, but over in Galatia. So do you also, on the first day of every week, let each one of you put aside and save, or take a collection, as we might say, as he may prosper, that no collection be made when I come. So a church collection to provide for an authorized work of the church. We could raise a lot more money if we'd have everybody put their stuff together and have a big garage sale. Or a raffle. $100 ticket for something we'll give away. That's not the way it was done. That's not the way it was done in Acts 4. That's not the way it was done here. There's just no authority. God made a choice that authorized work for the church be supported by the free will offering of the members. Yes, Ronnie?
On the other hand, though, if you as an individual want to hold the garage sale and sell your junk and then give that money to the church.
You can.
That's what
Barnabas did. In Acts 4, they sold property and gave it. That's right. If you want to have a garage sale and donate, you can do that. All right, so specifics. What'd you put in this column? What are specifics of free will giving? What?
Cash
or check? A collection basket? Right. These are specifics of doing what's authorized. And so the general class, we fund God's work by any means. And of course, rummage sales, farms, businesses. There's churches that have income from businesses. Some of them are churches of Christ, or at least that's what's on the sign. I just put on this next row, the local church, Philippians 1:1. He just talks about the saints, deacons, and bishops in the church at Philippi. This is God's group for saints meeting and working together. And their work is to teach the gospel to their members, to teach the gospel to others, and to care for needy saints. Obviously, I didn't have room to put all the verses. You'd have to gather all the data. So, specifics. You could have 2 bishops or 10 bishops. The general class, any organization. Well, we'll just build an organization to preach the gospel. Folks, that's what's been done down through the years. But look, if we can build another organization to teach the gospel, we're not going to do it at the church, we'll just build another one. Could we build another organization to partake of the Lord's Supper? If not, why not? God has an organization, a means for people to work collectively together. It's called the local church. And then this last row, what is the work of this group? 2 Thessalonians 1:1 talks about the church of God in Christ. That is, it's a group that is designed to function in relationship to God in connection with Christ and His work. That's why Romans 16:16 calls it churches of Christ. It's talking about the kind of group this is. So as you go through and gather all the data, you see they taught the gospel, they worshiped, they supported preachers, they cared for saints. The general class would be any activity. And this is what churches do today. They're in politics, entertainment, social activities. But see, if we go back to that first row and that second row and understand that, it takes care of that last row. It's a question of authority. Quickly, let's do our quiz. Number one. When the divine pattern circumscribes the general class or action, what's the answer? A. The specifics in that class are action or authorized. All right? Two, when the pattern specifies. Now, so question one, when it circumscribes a general class. But when the pattern specifies a class or action as God's choice, remember, the Lord chose. Now, what's the correct answer? B, only that specific class or action is authorized. All right, now number three. There's two correct answers. This one. Expedience, what? B and C are authorized by the practice they expedite if they do not violate any parts of the pattern. C is simply a definition of what an expedient does. It expedites. That is, it either speeds up or makes more proficient the task underway. Number four, there's two correct answers on this one. If you give your son your credit card, put the key in his hand, tell him to go and buy four name brand tires for this car, you have what? A and C. Authorize him to drive the car to the store. And authorize him to buy Mitchell or Goodyear tires, although you didn't specifically mention those. You authorize them when you say name brand tires, the general class. All right. And then number five. According to Exodus 25:14, Numbers 4:15, and Numbers 7:9, the Israelites were authorized to do what? Two correct answers. B, transport the ark by means of poles inserted in the rings of the ark, and these poles resting on the shoulders of the Kohathites. What's the other correct answer? D, same as B, but also used pads on their shoulders. And I put down at the bottom, read 1 Chronicles chapters 13 and 15. Encourage you to do that if you hadn't done it in a while. Again, I mentioned, be a great family Bible study. To read 1 Chronicles 13, talk about it, why it happened, and then 1 Chronicles 15. Okay? Any questions, comments? Thank you for your attention tonight.